Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." That does not sound like the prosperity gospel. And sadly, many Christians today do not take heed to Jesus' words. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." I will, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, I'm going to break that verse down in verse 20 and let you know what the treasures in heaven really are. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And also, next Sunday, starting next Sunday, we've been in somewhat of a transition over the past 4 or 5 weeks, and something that we started some years ago because of my baby daughter Danielle entering into the National Bible Bee will be resumed starting next Sunday morning. I believe that is very important and very vital in this transition. We had to focus on the messages. So let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we know that you're there. We know that you're here. And we know that we're not praying in vain. And we never want to be ever considered people who just say words and platitudes and familiar language that we all use in church. And so, Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for every Bible-believing church that glorifies your holy name everywhere in the world meeting today. And we thank you that your church is marching on, your gospel is moving forward, and your holy word is being preached. We individually confess our sins, failures, and faults. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, failures, and faults, and wherever and whenever we grieve and quench your Holy Spirit, forgive us of that and cleanse us of all sin and all unrighteousness. And fill us with the power, the unction, the anointing of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word, your holy gospel once again, to lift up your holy name and to lift up your holy son's name, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that as the gospel is being preached, your Holy Spirit would break hearts and cause conviction to come to pass in the lives of people under the sound of the gospel. All around the world, we've been amazed at the crowds that we have been receiving on multiple levels in the summertime. Normally everything goes down to lower numbers, but good numbers. And we're thankful for that. But there seems to be a hunger in the country and around the globe for the gospel, the plain old gospel, and your holy word, without all of the entertainment and all of the fanfare, just the simple preaching of the gospel in your holy word. And we're just amazed at what you have done and what you're doing. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel and be saved. And Lord, I believe in you that you can and will bring that to pass. We pray that you would revive Christian people, all of us, and help all of us to get back to that pure heart where we were when we first met you, our first love. That's where you want us to be. That's where you told us you want us to be. So Lord, help us to get there by your grace. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, who is already attacked today, and that has already been dealt with and explained. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us the victory to overcome that, and which was totally unnecessary and, of course, was not expected on this particular day. But we thank you for giving us the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and his demons, and his hosts, and even the Sanballats, and the Tobiases, and the Demases, and the Judases, Lord, around us, and Alexander the Coppersmith. We all have them in our lives. And so, Lord, protect us, continue to protect us, and be with us. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to change the title of this message to a very simple title. Serving God is not about money. Serving God, serving Jesus, has never been about money. Is not about money and never will be about money. And many, many millions of so-called believers are in a mess this morning because somehow they have forgotten these verses from the mouth of Jesus and have bought into a devil's lie that serving God somehow is about money. And we're saying very clearly that serving God has nothing to do with money or gaining money or gaining riches. And if you can get that into your mind, into your heart, you will be a better Christian. And you will see why as this message commences and goes on as long as the Lord wants it to go on. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, one's attitude toward money and wealth is another barometer of righteousness. And by the way, your righteousness or your being saved, being a Christian, is not measured at all by how much money you have or how many investments you have or what kind of house you live in. Never has been that way since Jesus was here. Is not that way now and never will be. Those of you who somehow believe the lie of the prosperity gospel, which is not a gospel at all, something concocted by the devil from hell. The Pharisees believed the Lord materially blessed all he loved. And while the Pharisees believed that, Jesus Christ said that he had no place to lay his head. His ministry was supported by people who gave to his ministry. He really had no money of his own. And he had a thief for a treasure, like so many folks have in the church today. They're still Judases, stealing money from the church. They were intent, that is the Pharisees, on building great treasures on earth. By the way, that's what's wrong with the Catholic Church today. They're more concerned about treasures on earth. One of the richest institutions on earth is the Vatican, the Catholic Church, filled with gold and silver and so forth. And so the Catholic Church was all about the prosperity gospel before the prosperity gospel became big time in the Protestant churches. But back to the quote, "But treasures built here are subject to decay or theft, whereas treasures deposited in the bank of heaven, if you will, can never be lost." Amen, somebody. Serving God is not about money. Never has been, is not now, and never will be. The Pharisees had this problem because their spiritual eyes were diseased. With their eyes, they were coveting money and wealth, and so their souls were dark. Thus, they were in spiritual darkness. They were slaves to the master of greed, and their desire for money was so great, they were failing in their service to their true master, God. Money is the translation of the Aramaic word for wealth or property, mamona or mammon. Ladies and gentlemen, in these verses from the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, end of quote, in these verses from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shifts our focus from what we do for others and what we do for God to what some of us do for ourselves. You are familiar with the concept of treasure and riches. You're familiar with it because so many are running after it, and maybe even you're running after the same thing the world is running after: riches and treasure and money. One rapper came out with a famous rap and a famous movie, "Get Rich or Die Trying." That was the goal. Get rich or die trying. Nothing in between. No God. No Jesus. Just get rich. And if I can't get rich, let me die trying. And many folks have that mentality today. It's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins. And all of these rappers who thought that have found out that it's not just all about the money. You can have riches and be a miserable soul. Serving God is not about the money. Never has been, is not now, and never will be. The word translated as treasures in the Bible means wealth, a storehouse, a bank, or repository in which valuables are kept. It is a good thing to build up wealth, is it not? Ask anyone for advice regarding finances, and most will tell you that more money, more wealth, more treasure, if you can get it, is better than not having it. But in typical fashion, Jesus breaks our common perceptions and says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." And he's not trying to hurt anybody. He's not necessarily trying to change your perception. He's God, and his perspective is different. And if you want to be truly blessed in your life, you need to follow his perspective and his view of things. If you want his peace and his joy, you must do it his way. So what kind of financial advice is this? What kind of life advice is this? who says, no, don't build up wealth for yourself? How are we to understand Jesus' words? In the writings of Warren Wiersbe, he said regarding this passage, we are accustomed to dividing life into the spiritual and the material, aren't we? But Jesus made no such division. In many of his parables, he made it clear that a right attitude toward wealth is a mark of true spirituality. A right attitude towards money was a mark of true spirituality. The Pharisees were covetous and used religion to make money, like so many prosperity gospel preachers today, not interested in helping the poor members of their churches, but they used the church to make money and to live a lavish lifestyle, driving vehicles that cost more than several houses, while their poor church members are living in the projects. If we have the true righteousness of Christ in our lives, then we will have a proper attitude toward material wealth. Nowhere did Jesus magnify poverty or criticize the legitimate getting of wealth through hard work. There's nothing wrong with that, necessarily. God made all things, including food, clothing, materials to make houses and precious metals. God has declared that all things he has made are good. We're the ones who have messed it up and defiled it. And that's why God has a problem with us. Because we mess up things. We mess up legitimate good things. We abuse legitimate good things and consume them upon our lusts. And so God has to put restraints on us, and God has to rebuke us because of our wicked, sinful nature, where we take things that are legitimate and good and mess it up. That's what we do as sinners. All of us are guilty. And if we're doing it right, it's only because of the grace of God, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Can somebody say amen? And so therefore, God gets all the glory and not us. God knows that we need certain things in order to live. God also knows there are certain things we don't need. A lot of us have too much, and we don't need it. Some of us have walk-in closets so big that you could, as big as an apartment. You might as well just put a bathroom in there and live in that closet. Some of us have 1,000 pairs of shoes, and you don't even have 1,000 days left to live. You buy shoes every week. There are men who have hundreds of suits that they will never wear again. They might as well take them down to the Salvation Army and give them away. They'll never wear them again. We have too much. God is all about giving us what we need and not things we don't need. In fact, God has given us richly all things to enjoy, not to abuse, not to overdo it with, but to enjoy with limits. And we don't like limits. That's why most of us in the church are fat, overweight, obese, diabetic, and about to die. That's why we have drunkards in the church. That's why we have people who don't, they have a house, a big house on Pork Chop Hill, but they have to go and buy storage and rent storage to put more of their stuff that they will never see again and never use again, because we abuse the blessings of God. And God is not with that. It is not wrong, ladies and gentlemen, to possess things, but it is wrong for things to possess us. God has finally blessed you with something, and now you're worried about keeping it. How many thousands, yea, how many millions of men who have foolishly put their heart in their wife instead of God, who have trusted their conniving, devilish wives more than they have trusted God. And now they're living in a one-bedroom efficiency apartment, and she has the house and the kids, the big fine house on Pork Chop Hill that he worked hard for and paid for. And she has all of the money, control of the bank account, and has another dude living in this man's house that he paid for and is paying for and better pay for it. Otherwise, he's going to go to jail. Trusting in his wife more than trusting in God. And getting everything she wanted, only for her to take it all away from him, and now he's down on Skid Row. Thousands, millions of men have done this foolishness across the country and around the globe. Greedy, constantly getting more to lose all of it. There's a man in the news right now who worked hard all of his life, and now his wife, his ex-wife, is taking over half of his riches. Riches have a way of flying away from you if you put your faith and your trust in others and not God. Or you put your faith and trust in your riches and not God. The sin of idolatry, ladies and gentlemen, is as dangerous as the sin of hypocrisy. There are many warnings in the Bible against covetousness. Jesus warned against the sin of living for the things of this life. He pointed out the sad consequences of covetousness and idolatry over and over again. And what has the church done, his church, so-called, has done? They have ignored these verses that we're talking about today. It's all about the Benjamins. People use the church to get business. It's all about the dollars. It's all about the money. It's all about material things. It's all about buying stuff. Malls are filled every weekend. People taking what little money they have and trying to buy happiness. And you'll never find it. The happiest people in the world who have are people who have very little, But more importantly, they have Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is not condemning wealth or the getting of wealth through hard work. He is condemning the common pitfall of those who find their value in wealth, in money, in material things. May God help you. Those who store their hearts and minds with their wealth, with their money, with their riches. And if you're living in America, you're living in the richest, most powerful nation since the beginning of time. And you're also dealing with and living in a country that has some of the most miserable, sad, unthankful, and pitiful people. Yes, even in the church. Because many so-called Christians have lost their way, seeking money, seeking riches, getting into debt up to their eyeballs, trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. I had a thought the other day. I think it goes like this. The person had heard of Dave Ramsey and started cutting back, and he met the Joneses, and the Joneses were mad at him because they're not keeping up with them anymore. And we need a whole lot more Christians to stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. Make the Joneses mad because you're not keeping up with them anymore. Try to help them to get out of debt up to their eyeballs. And Jesus gives two very good reasons why no one should get caught up in money, in seeking riches and wealth. First, money, wealth, riches can and will decay. Money, riches, wealth can and will decay. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, Jesus said, where moth and rust doeth corrupt. Both material and monetary wealth fades. Cars break down, don't they? Houses get old and raggedy. Clothes get worn out and moth-eaten. An economic crash can cause money to not only lose its value, but absolutely disappear. This is why you heard about people killing themselves back in the 20s when the Great Depression commenced. More and more, you're seeing people jump off buildings. The other day, a couple jumped off a building, left their children behind, primarily because of debt. If your life, your heart is caught up in your money, in your so-called riches, your wealth, your life will also break down, get worn out, and lose its value. And so, ladies and gentlemen, secondly, wealth can be taken away. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where thieves break through and steal. How many thousands of folks seeking the prosperity of the gospel have lost everything? The more they gain, the more they lose. In life, you frequently have to part with your riches, your money, your wealth. You have to give it up to bill collectors, utility companies who are constantly raising rates, taxes that are constantly going up, and the national government, the federal government. You have to shell it out for necessities, for things that pop up out of the blue, unexpectedly. Unfortunately, there are people who will steal your money and your material possessions. People are constantly being robbed at ATM machines. And by the way, some banks need to check into some ways to make those ATM machines work faster. In this day and time, you ought to be able to drive up and get your money and drive off. For some, they get robbed because they're at the ATM machine too long. But we have jokers today who will drive a truck through a wall and just pull the whole ATM machine out and drag it down the street with your money in it. Solomon said that money has a strange habit. It takes wings like an eagle and flies away. Don't put your heart trust in money, because money can disappear just like that. Amen, somebody. If all of your treasure is stored up in this world, it can decay. It can be taken away. And if your heart is where your treasure is, your heart will decay as well. If your life is caught up in your wealth, your money, your riches, you will end up feeling worthless when your wealth is gone. Following Jesus can save you from this despair. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Elisha Moncrief wrote, "You may lay up vast riches of silver and gold, and may hoard precious jewels and treasures untold. But at last, when you come to the end of life's road, your wealth will be just what you've given to the Lord." Amen, somebody. Let's all stand. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this powerful and important reminder that serving God is not about the money. Serving Jesus is not about the money. It's about everything we do being done for your glory, your praise, and your honor. So grant us your grace to get back to the old landmarks. And Lord, get back to that pure-hearted first love, where everything we did it with a pure heart. We did it because we loved you back, because you first loved us. We never wanted any money. We never wanted any fame. We were excited about knowing you in those early days of our Christian faith. Help us to get back to it as Christians and to repent of seeking money and riches, for they have a tendency to fly away. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you're with us today, wherever you are in the world, as we are heard on multiple streams around the world by thousands of folks, live and on demand, we thank God for this new technology that allows us to do this. So wherever you are in the world, we thank God for your being here, and choosing to be here, knowing that you could have been any place else. If you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins. Allow me to show you briefly how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. Always there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. We're all headed to the grave. And we die spiritually because of sin. Whereas our body is buried in the grave, on earth our soul, which lives on forever, will go to a devil's hell. For you see, God did not create hell for us. He created hell for the devil and his angels. However, if we don't trust Christ as Savior and live like the devil and act like the devil, we will go to hell with the devil. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. The lake of fire is a sad place. It is a place of gnashing of teeth. It is a place of an agonizing memory. It is a place of constant torment and pain. Sin is a bad thing, and it must be paid for. And I have good news for you in light of that bad news. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he said it this way in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So therefore, you don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to be saved. Serving God is not about the money. You don't have to do good works to be saved. None of those things will save you. They're all good, but they will not save you. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross as the Lamb of God for your sins and for mine. He was buried and he rose again on the third day, and all you have to do is believe in him and then pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so that's good news for you. You don't have to go to hell and pay for your sins. All you have to do is trust Christ as Savior. He suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. Believe on him today and pray and ask him to save you, and I will be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I've stolen before. I've dishonored my parents. I have disobeyed my parents. I have lusted after people and things, and I have taken your name in vain, and many other sins. I understand that I deserve hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent and to turn away from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our many other emails and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you immediately via email. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer.